Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, Brooklyn, I'm excited about you hosting and monitoring the discussion that we're going to have with two of my dearest friends.
Now, we were talking about this, and I feel like it's going to be fun because it's just like y'all three having conversation, but we get to eavesdrop in on it. It's Pastor Denny Duran, Pastor Rich Sr., and
Wilkerson.
Okay. Pastor Rich Wilkerson Sr.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because obviously you're the number one dad in my life, but I think it's cool to have their perspectives. I would look at them as fatherly figures in my life. Pastor Denny doing our marriage counseling, Pastor Rich hosting us when we were as interns. I think they are full of wisdom, but I'm hoping that people that get to be a part of this call, they just feel like they're getting three men that are just father figures in their life that are just coaching them up for this timing.
Yeah, it'll be very organic and unscripted, unrehearsed. You know, before we get started, let me give people an opportunity to give. To give, to tithe, to sow. My mantra through this time is you want seed in the ground right now. You know, I know the world's topsy-turvy, the world's, you know, just, I mean, hanging by a thread, it seems like, all over. The kingdom's not. And we're kingdom people. We're kingdom-minded. We're kingdom covenant. And whatever the world says, whatever the world's going through, we don't adhere to it. We don't go through it. We're with people in it, but not of it. And that's the big key. So text your offering. You can give online. Man, I appreciate everybody's generosity and the habitual giving that people have. I mean, generosity is always going to win, always. And I'll tell you, Guts Church, you're the most generous people on the planet. So, God, bless this time as we give. God, I thank you that you give back to us, and we know that. As we don't judge, we don't condemn, we forgive, and we give. God, you give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, I thank you that all our needs met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And, God, we are truly the head and not the tail with our resources and our finances. In Jesus' name, amen. You can text amen. The amount, space guts, to 45777, or just give online. So this can be a great time. Let's tune in and Brooklyn get it kicked off.
Yeah, so we've got a special treat tonight. Pastor Denny Duran, Pastor Rich Wilkerson Sr., they both lead churches, but so much more than that. I mean, huge churches, huge families. And something that I think is incredible about them is just the fruit of their lives. Like if you look at all of their children and then their grandchildren, first of all their children are serving God. And that to me is like,
it's at a high level.
At a very high level. And you probably know a lot of them, but like Pastor Denny, how many kids does he have? I was actually thinking about it, like 6 or 7.
Well, they adopted one. He's a cop now.
It's amazing.
In Baton Rouge,
and then they've all, most of them have gotten married and had kids. And so they have a huge family. And, you know, he's in Louisiana. Pastor Rich is in Miami. You know, we're in the Northeast. You're in Oklahoma. So it's cool to see that with, like, all of us connecting during this pandemic. How it is not affecting the area that we're in, just because the Northeast is taking it very seriously. Not that the South isn't, but it's just a different time right now. And so I think this is cool because I want to hear not about what we're in. We all know, like, this is not ideal. This is not the situation we want to be in. And it's doom and gloom on the news. It's a bummer. It almost is like, let's stop stating the obvious. We know we're stuck at home. We know we should stay home. We know the protocols. We get it. But this, to me, I just want it to be like, wow, this energized me. Wow, this gave me a future and a hope. This gives me a new perspective on the stance that I want to take moving forward. And so I think you do that every Sunday, you do it on Wednesdays, and I think we're just going to add to it and make it fun that you guys are friends, you're in ministry, your fathers, your grandfathers, you love people. And that's the thing. You three serve, honor, and love people like nobody else. So this is why we wanted to bring y'all together and just let you guys talk. And I have to be a part of it just to make sure we don't go anywhere crazy, but it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I can't wait to call him.
You get Rich Wilkerson on a call, it's probably going to go crazy.
It's going to be organic. That is for sure. Uncensored here.
Oh, he's as entertaining a human being as I've ever met. So
I think next time we pull in the wives and then you guys all can go crazy. It's going to be fun. So, all right, let's give him a call. Okay, so let's kick this off. Why don't y'all just tell us how y'all are doing personally, how your extended family, your grandkids, we want to hear about it.
I'll let my older brother go first.
Bill?
That's you, Rich. Come on, man.
Just so everybody knows, Denny is 1 full week older than me. And so he has always been the old man in our friendship. And he is definitely the seer as well. I think we're doing pretty good. You kind of get into a routine, kind of nestled into this sense of, well, we've got who's important with us here. And yeah. True, I think that there's some families that aren't actually happy to be together. But by and large, I think the majority of at least Christian families are probably happy to be together. And the initial hit and fear of this thing seems to have passed. And now the concern is, when are we going to get on with life? And then what will life look like? So just about every day I talk to our kids about that. And they have all kinds of different ideas.
Well, you know, same with us. Everybody's working hard. I talked to my oldest last week and I said, I think we've needed this respite, this Sabbath. She said, well, I haven't had that. She said, I am working harder in this church than I have ever worked in my entire life. And so I actually went online really for the first time at that point just to see everything that they are doing. And I was amazed, you know, they're feeding people and making sure that they have a whole lot of posts, and, you know, their people in their congregation are also doing videos throughout the our live sessions throughout the day. And, she is just feeling like the church is moving forward in some areas very, very rapidly, very quickly, far more quickly than we would have under any other circumstance, and that we're gaining ground. And she honestly feels, and she's, you know, Destiny, as you know, she's this thinker. She is all about, you know, thinking in, you know, multi-dimension, thinking around an issue. She's the kind of person that if you talk about one side of the subject, she immediately is going to take the other side simply so that the subject is thoroughly addressed. And so she is, in thinking around this, she really feels in her heart that we're going to gain some ground that we will never relinquish, and that we're going to be better at a whole lot of things as the church of Jesus Christ than we have ever been before. I agree with that. And then, of course, Dawn Cherie and Rich. The thing that I have loved where Dawn Cherie is concerned is that she has become very dad, mom conscious during this thing, putting us squarely in the high-risk group, making sure that we are at home. And I think she is texting us, not texting us, but actually FaceTiming us every day, just to make sure we're where we are supposed to be. You know, we are in lockdown because of Destiny and Dawn Cherie. We are not breaking quarantine. I can tell you, they're not going to put up with it. In fact, if they see anything online where we're in an automobile, they're going to call and say, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you with? So that's kind of the way that's working out. But she allows us to see the grandboys there. And one of the things that we may talk about a little later is it has been so refreshing for us just to go back to one-on-one pastoring and just to call people and to find out how they're doing. And Sarah and Denny Rodney are doing an especially good and efficient job of just checking on people and making sure everyone is fine in the church. And I believe that when we come back together, we're going to come back as a closer church, a closer knit church, just because of the personal contact. And of course, Dez is, he has come home because everything's shut down, you know, in New York, and he's enjoying being with the kids, the grand, his nephews and nieces, you know, nephews and nieces, and brothers and sisters. He's just enjoying his time here. And he comes in for every sunset. We live on the lake, and so he comes and sits here for every sunset with a mask on and a straw hat. He sits out and, 6 feet from us. He's making sure that he doesn't get in trouble with his sisters, you know, by giving us anything. And so, you know, we enjoy him. And, of course, David D is and Dakota are down with Don Cherie and Rich and enjoying that time of ministry. And I know it's challenging, but I'm like everybody else. There are things that we have now that we would not have had this not come about. And so, you know, we're doing things differently. Yesterday, my 9-year-old granddaughter, Carolina Lee, and you have a Carolina Lee, yeah. Brooklyn. And
well, that name Brett. For daughter Destiny.
Oh, my goodness. What a great name, right? What a great Southern Belle name.
We love it.
Our problem is ours is built like a tank, so we just taken Nicole and Carl. It's right now. The way she's built, the little baby, it's just Carl works better than Carolina.
She's a mini refrigerator.
Oh, my God. Well, we had a drive-by birthday party yesterday for Carolina Lee.
How old is she now?
Yeah, the whole family, that the extended family that's in this area, we all got in our cars and we drove by the house. And we, you know, handed our gifts out the window. And it was cool. You know, she said, in fact, Destiny called today and said, Carolina said this was her favorite birthday ever.
Well, Denny, you can't, on the heels of your introduction, what about the draft, Denny?
Oh, my goodness. I was so into it. Deonze said, what are you doing? I'm just sitting up watching every choice. I said, I got to see who pressing them take, you know? I said, So when I saw my man, you know, old guys like Hurts. Hurts is, you know, he's an old guy's quarterback because he's hard-nosed, he hustles, you know, and he goes in and he lifts weights with the linemen. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's the kind of guy that we always, you know, old coaches, old guys love. You know, they love the hard-nosed guy. So, when you got him, I went, oh, man, that's wonderful. I was so wondering where that kid was going to land.
It's pretty cool. It's cool he played in Norman, too.
Yeah.
Fun. It's what?
He played at OU, where I went and he's from, so it's just a fun connection.
Just a sec. Deonze. She's making a lot of noise. Just a second. Deonze. You're making a lot of noise.
Did you hear any noise? I didn't hear any noise.
I heard nothing.
Hey, yeah, you hear no noise. Brooklyn Press, it's shocking with all those babies.
Man, you can't believe how noisy it was. It was noisy in here.
Rachel Kennedy, you've got all the kids upstairs and do not let them down, because once they're in, we won't have any peace in this house.
I want to see them. At the end, we've got to see them.
That's a separate call.
Okay, separate call.
Yeah. Brooklyn, what's amazing about having these two guys on our screen is I don't know that you could get two people on the same shot that know more about life, the gospel, because it's decades. It's not – I mean, they'll talk about people where I'll think, man, I haven't thought of them in 30 years, you know.
And, yeah. And that's something.
The connectivity is just shocking.
Oh, yeah. And Brooklyn's perfect. She's perfect. So, there you go.
I think for me,
that's why I keep you around. You just become the love tank.
Rich, the bad thing for me is because I feel like I have a very. I've got a very
kind heart.
Yeah, but my personality is very, you know, attractional, and my kids will be around Denny, and they'll walk over to me and say, "Dad, what happened to you? Why?"
No, that's not true.
Why can't you more like
you're the guy? You're such a, you know, Bill. You're such a go-to guy for all of us. When we're around you, it, you know what it does is. It just brings us back to the goodness of life. You have a way, and I think that's why in times like this people need to hear from you, because you are already in touch with life and in touch with the things that matter, and you've never allowed yourself to stray and get preoccupied with ministry or anything else that's been a fad in any generation. Don't you agree, Rich? Rich can't hear me. Rich, are you there?
Dude, my power, you guys. I completely spilled coffee over my entire desk. Carpet. I've got this gal. I need my power cord for this. Tell Riker, because I can't. I'm going dead. It's going dead.
All I was hoping was that this would be so organic. Carpet's
going to be destroyed if you don't move. So I moved downstairs. She's on a Zoom call. And not only that, I was saying, I'm just going, dear God, I'm losing my mind. Okay, so thank you. Okay, right here.
You know what? I think
I'm texting. I'm trying to get people out of bed. I'm still trying to get people out of bed here. What, it's 3 p.m? Thank you. Okay.
Oh my God.
I think this is every Zoom call. Yes.
No one.
Everybody.
I am here till the return of Christ. I'm not leaving. I will not bother anybody anymore. I will be quiet. I now have power.
I love it.
And they're all out of my office. I'm good. Go.
Okay.
Rich.
Go ahead, Pastor Denny.
I just got to finish.
Yes, Pastor Denny.
Because I made a statement. And yes, Pastor, I made a statement about Bill Shear, how important he is to all of us, because he's unlike anyone in our lives.
You know, when if Bill Shear asked me to do anything, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Because he only asks very, very, there's large in-between times that he ever asks you to do anything.
Yeah.
And you could ask him to do 20 things, he'd do them all. But
every time.
You know, the name Guts, we're done.
Yeah, there you go.
We're done. Just the very fact that you would start a church and call it Guts Church. Yeah. As they say here in Miami, that should tell you something, okay? I'm just saying. That's who he is. He has this unwavering moral courage. I mean that with all my heart, Bill. Fearless, unbending moral courage. And yes. when you talk about Denny and me, this is like an old guy's mutual admiration society. When you talk about Denny and me, we are very quick. And what happened to Denny and I is just the grace of God. It's nothing we could have orchestrated. Straight grace of God. But when you talk about us with such honor, we are very quick, at least I know Denny is too, we're very quick to include you in our team. You know, we're quick to, you know, I'm serious, because of your unwavering faith in Jesus Christ. But Denny Duran and Bill Shear are true believers. A guy could put a gun to their head, give up Jesus, and they'd go, "You're wasting your time. Let's get this over with." They'd look at the clock, "Take me out. Let's go. I ain't giving Jesus up." So that's who Bill Sheeran's. That's what I want to say.
Unless you had Bill Shear with you, and then he would hit him right in the mouth, and you'd both get away.
He'd go, look, oh, a bird. Bam! Yeah.
Brooklyn, steer this thing.
Well, going back to my question, I say, give us one. This is like a word of encouragement for people's marriages right now. If they're like, oh my gosh, I can't be with my husband any longer right now, how could you encourage them in that place?
I have not been out of my neighborhood since March 15th. I'm just going to tell you, it's been brutal. Anyway, so the first week or two, the two of us, it was pretty intense. And the whole first couple of weeks were did too. Tastes great, less filling. I mean, it was just like that. And then all of a sudden, I can't really explain it. Things started to turn, and it's been glorious, you know? Because we're not going to the office. We're going to be right here, and we're going to, hey. And it's, so what I'm saying is, forget all the stuff that could happen, and thank God for what's happening right here, and that you've got the one that you forsook all others for right here with you. And just love each other. And I'm telling you, the last 3 weeks, it's like this to me. And I'm not, hey, look, I'm not talking about, you know, married love. I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm just talking, it's like when we were dating, I mean, we're cracking jokes, we're chasing each other, we're laughing. We were in bed the other night, and she said something, and it was late. And we got to both laughing so hard. We got to choking a little bit and laughing. We finally, it's like 1 in the morning. We finally just turned the lights. Let's go get something to eat. Let's go downstairs. We got out of bed at 1 in the morning. Now this is Denny's MO, because the Durans always eat at 3 in the morning. They get up, hey, let's wake up, let's have pancakes, go back to bed. Yeah, but that's not the Wilkersons. We had it up, that's about 3 nights ago. Went downstairs. Got the food out. We're laughing, still trying to get over the joke. And it's really, and I'm not saying we're good. I'm just saying that's what's been happening. After the first couple of weeks of, wow, I can't stand you, now it's like, hallelujah, you know? So our family is what, hey, one last thing that Denny.
No, I'm going to join this.
We're church people, okay? So our livelihood is church. Our mission is church. Our passion is church. So that, okay. But the church in its purest sense is a mom and dad and some kids.
That's right.
That's, wow. That's the original church. All right. That's it. The family. And once the family can really celebrate together and worship together, it's going to go better. That's why I believe we're having a revival. We come out of this thing, we ever do get back together, looking at each other, it's going to be explosive revival.
It is. Wow. So good. So good.
In there, you know, when we started the church in 92, there weren't manuals on how to do church. There weren't templates. You know, I mean, You can get online right now, and you know, you can go to WebMD and diagnose your own symptoms. You can go and download all kinds of forms and pamphlets and start a church. And back then it wasn't. And then the term church planting came about, and people asked me, man, when did you plant your church? Like 10 years after we did it. It was hard for me to relate to that. Because it wasn't like planting a church. It was like gnawing through concrete. I mean, it was, but anyway, the point is I had to figure out who I was as the church was growing. And I had to stay true to myself. And what I did was I decided I was going to pastor the way I parent. And I think that goes with what you're saying, Rich, that pastoring and parenting are, I used to say they're similar. Now I see they're identical. You know, I talked to Taylor at Brooklyn and then Kennedy when she came along, and I saw these people in my church wanting me to talk to them the same way. You know what you guys have been for people is people that have these massive daddy issues. You guys have been there for them and they've gotten through them and over them and past them to be able to live productive lives by having a couple guys that are just great dads.
Well, Pastor Denny did our marriage counseling. Yeah. Like, to me, this is just like a triple dose of a fatherly, like a conversation with your dad. It's like, Dad, help me, like, through this time. Like, this is what we wanted out of this, is that our church got to be fly on the wall to the conversation that y'all three would have regardless of it being recorded or not.
I tried to figure out who you guys were forever, because all I ever heard was about Pastor Denny and Pastor Rich. You're Bill or Sandy's brother, so it took forever until I got to meet you that you guys weren't really uncles, but that's how she always talked about it. Just all of them.
That's so great.
But even now, like, Press and I still talk about, like, the conversations that Pastor Denny had with us for our pre-marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the tips that he gave, it's like, they're so practical, but it's like it moves chains in your lives. It's just, to me, like, you guys sharing stories, people can just be a part of that and allow their lives to dream a little bit, to hear, like, encouragement. I think just you talking about destiny, talking about how the church is gaining momentum right now, nobody's talking like that. And if they are, it's not loud enough, because all that people are hearing is how scary and fearful, and what's life going to look like? Are my kids going back to school? Am I going to be a homeschooling parent for the rest of my life? Am I going to be able to touch, like, things in the grocery store and not fear that I just picked up a virus? I think people are just, they're isolated. So to me, we just want to infuse encouragement. And so hearing just what your daughter's telling you as your daughter, it's just, it's monumental in people's lives.
Wow.
Before I think that I got to run to we had a quarterback meeting here coming up, so I got to take another life. Zoom call. Work never stops.
Tell Jaylen I said hello.
It's good to see you guys.
Love you, Press.
Love you,
God bless, man.
You know, I think that right now the role of, you talked about the role of a father. I think the role of a father is the most important role right now. I was also out preaching when this thing hit. I was in New Mexico, and I turned to the pastor, who was Pastor David Swan, and I said, Pastor David, I said, this changes everything. And I said, really, on Sunday, your people don't need to hear from a guest preacher. I said, they need to hear from Daddy. And I said, I'm going home. I'm going to the airport right now. And I'm going home to Shreveport because my people need to hear from Dad. And on Sunday morning, as I looked right into that camera, I said, this is what I want you to know. We're going to get through this, and everything is going to be all right. And that's the voice of the Father. You see, it's not that the Father says anything that's so profound. It's just that he's saying it. And that trusted voice can produce more comfort in a child's heart than anything else. When a child is afraid, they're not looking for great logic, reasoning, or scientific proof. They're not looking for somebody to give them the odds of this or that happening. They're just looking for a word from Dad or Granddad that says, hey, baby, everything's going to be all right. I promise you. I'm here, and everything is going to be all right. You know, that's the word of the Father. You know, the Father's greatest guarantee, the greatest guarantee that the Father gives us is not every scripture about healing and every scripture about him fighting your battles, or even every scripture about him taking care of your finances. The greatest thing the Father says to us is, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you.
Yes.
Everything's going to be all right. And so I think as fathers, the thing that we need to be saying over and over to our congregations is, hey, God's got this. I don't want you to be concerned. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to get through this.
Really good.
Absolutely. And we are.
Well, the one thing that, and you guys probably talk to more preachers than I do, and I talk to a lot, but mindset factors in. And both you guys have come into this with a healthy, solid mindset, and that's being revealed. And other people that are freaking out, and it's doomsday. And that's where a lot of the knowledge, the scientific knowledge, comes from, that kind of mindset that brings you immediately to worst case scenario or to doomsday. And you know what? The gospel doesn't do that.
No.
And just those simple words that you said, Denny, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. I'll always be with you is monstrous.
Well, Dad, you've been saying like, we're built for this. Like, it's a different way. It's a different stance. I mean, that to me is an offensive stance. You're not hiding away. It's like, we're ready. Like,
we're ready. Wow. We're built for this. I love that, Bill.
Well, and we're built for the battle. You know, I had a Zoom call yesterday with a group of men in the church. And I said, you know, I'm not talking to you about taking a stand. I'm not talking about a call to order. I'm talking about a call to arms. I mean, we, with the Holy Spirit, we are forearmed and forewarned. And, man, he'll show us things we didn't know. He's going to remind us of everything Jesus said, and that puts us on the offense. I love Brooklyn bringing that up. I think most of the church, especially through this, we're on the defense. We're playing defense. And there's one objective for the defense, is to stop the opposition and take the ball back. And so we're on defense. We should be on defense about that long and then go on the offensive. And, man, it's all about that to me, is putting every promise I see in God's word puts me on the offensive, gives me an opportunity to go score.
I'm writing all this stuff down, Bill. That's why I'm looking down, because those are such great truths that you're speaking right now. That's wonderful.
Well, and you know,
and you can
go ahead, Rich.
You can hear Denny's message on Sunday by tuning into Shreveport Community Church, and some of that will sound remarkably like Pastor Bill's. I'm teasing. I'm getting stuff from everywhere.
Exactly right. Go ahead. Cat's out of the bag.
I actually have. I got my old school tape recorder going while we're doing this.
What's going on?
Sister Sandy.
Why am I not in this call?
Why are you not in this?
The boys call with Brooklyn.
It's a boys call with Brooklyn, but as Pastor Denny knows,
boys talk with Brooklyn.
Pointing live broadcasts. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Love you, Sandy.
You know,
I feel
that's a miracle.
Go ahead, Bill.
Just so you know.
That's what?
Amen. Yes, 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 yes.
You were in a
hallelujah.
You were in a Chicago airport. I was in an Oklahoma City transplant clinic when this whole thing hit. And I had to gear down because they were figuring out protocols at the hospital. And they said, okay, no visitors. And I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to happen. That rent-a-cop there at the front door is not keeping me out of that room. Sorry.
It's a call to arms.
Well, I believe that. I'll get back that I get all the vision, and I get about culture, and I get about the call, finding the call in your life, and nobody, you know, trying to help people with the call in their life. And, you know, finally, a couple of years ago, it hit me that the call on my life is the same as Rich and Benny and Brooklyn and everybody watching this. The call on my life is to win. That's what God's called me to, who God's called me to be and what God's called me to do. No matter what we face, oh, we're in a quarantine, there's a pandemic, there's a virus, there's a transplant, there's travel trouble, there's financial hardships. Yeah, what's God called it? God's called us to win. 2 Corinthians 2:14.
Yeah.
Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. The cause in our life is to win. The cause in our life is triumph. And that's the mindset we have to have. That, I mean, you think about it. 1,000 will fall to your left, and 10,000 to your right hand, you'll not be harmed. You'll walk through the fire. You'll walk through the water. I mean, it's, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And our God wins. I mean, that we sing the song, Our God Reigns, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to the world. We start singing the song, Our God Wins, okay? But I believe that with all my heart, that God's purpose on your life, no matter who I'm looking at, is to win. Go win.
I think to me, the message doesn't change. Like, what you guys have been preaching, it's just like, we're standing on it. We're standing, and then we're called to stand. And so for me, we're unshakable. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I want y'all to just communicate is when it comes to marriage, when it comes to finances, when it comes to your children, like, what are you telling your people right now? What can we get from y'all? Like, what information or what, like you just said, like, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've heard that a million times, but when you said that, it was like a refreshing of the Holy Spirit hit me. And it's like, oh my gosh. And the word's alive. And so I just want this to be conversation where y'all are just talking to me like I'm your daughter, and it's like, what, encourage me, because that right now, like, let's say I'm just mentally like defeated, whatever that is, what would you say?
Well, I think one of the things that we have been surprised at here is that God has used this crisis, in the midst of the crisis, he has restored us as an organization and as a church. Our money is better than it was before. People have suddenly felt needed. People are sending checks. There was a gentleman that was at odds with me 10 years ago because of something that happened that was tragic in his life. I had nothing to do with it. But sometimes when tragic things happen in people's lives, they begin to lash out at anyone who's close to them. And so I was the pastor that was in charge, and I was close, and I was an easy target. Yesterday, he sends me a check for $1,000. He said, this is for all the times you counseled us, and I never said I'm thank you. It's never said I'm grateful or thank you. And he said, I'm sorry, it's so late coming. Well, it's 10 years late, but it doesn't matter. It's this time that has caused people to begin to think thoughts like that. People have stepped up. They've begun to say, you know what? My offering probably is important right now during this time. So sometimes people don't give because they don't really think it's needed, and they don't think they are needed. But now everybody's needed. Everybody needs to step up. We've been calling our people and just checking on them. And we have a congregation that is small enough that we can divide up and make sure that everyone gets a phone call. And so we've been calling them, and the question that they've asked us is, but are you okay? Mm-hmm. Is the church okay? Because how are we doing financially? Suddenly people are coming out of the woodwork. I just can't believe our numbers of the people that are watching us, not just on Facebook, which, you know, you can kind of check in and leave, but on our website, just the numbers are amazing. And we're seeing responses from people that have been gone from our church for so long. One of the things I can tell you that will encourage you as a pastor's daughter, Brooklyn, and encourage all of us, and encourages all of us, I think, as pastors, is Lord has shown me that there are going to be two primary groups of people that are going to be in our churches again that haven't been there in a while. One is people that have left, maybe not because of great offense, but just because when you miss a Sunday, that can turn into two, and that can turn into five. And then suddenly you're just not going to church anymore. And there are going to be people that have left our church that are going to come back. Churches are going to be repopulated by people that have left over the past 20 years. I can tell you it's going to happen. They're going to bring their families back with them. And then the other group are those in our families that we have been praying for.
Wow.
Because for the first time, old Joe, who gets up on Sunday morning and, you know, before 10 o'clock, he's already having a Budweiser, you know, and getting ready to go play golf. Well, guess what? Before, while he was having his morning coffee at 8 o'clock, old Bud's been sitting there at the table and saying, yeah, Gladys, I'll watch your church with you. And he has been in church for the first time in all of these years. And he's going, that's not so bad. I like what that preacher said there. That's good. And now he's talking to his guys out on the golf course about his church. And he's never been a church-going guy, but he is now.
Yes.
And whether he comes physically to the church or not, which I predict he will, I can tell you that we are going to be so good at this online thing.
Yes.
That we are going to have a two-pronged attack. We are going to be paying as much attention to our online presence as we are to our live presentation. And the Church of Jesus Christ is going to grow. Everything that comes on the earth like this, regardless of its source, becomes a tool that God uses. You know, the Word of God says this. It says, a broken heart the Lord will not despise. You know what's interesting about brokenness is that it's the same thing as crisis. Because it doesn't matter if the world breaks you. It doesn't matter if your own poor choices break you. It doesn't matter if the devil breaks you. Or if God breaks you, brokenness can always have an end result of change, transformation, and a new lens. And that's exactly the way it is with this kind of thing. We don't know where it came from, honestly. We know that disease and suffering and death is from the devil. But we do know that our God has opened the gates throughout history. I've been reading the book of Exodus. And he has allowed plagues to come. So we don't know where the plague originated from. We don't even know if it was from a lab in Wuhan or if it, you know, was bats or something else. We don't know for sure yet. But here's what we do know, that God can masterfully use this to grow his church. So in the midst of things here in Shreveport, what I can tell you is, I mean, I'll just tell you, we are in better shape financially in our church right now than we have been since I took over as the pastor. And it's in the middle of a crisis that this is happening. And I believe, like Bill believes, that you get what you believe for. And we are just continuing to believe that in the midst of it all, things are going to be great. So we can say this, Brooklyn, things are going to be better in your home. Things are going to be better in your marriage. Things are going to be better as in your parenting, as you gain greater skills. Your kids are going to love you more. Your business is going to be better because even if you lost your job, you're going to get a better one. And these are the words of faith that we pray and that we live.
I got on the phone with my 90-year-old mother last night. You know, she goes, I'm just bored out of my mind. She goes, I've been watching Christian TV. She goes, that's about to kill me. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I've never heard so much grace in my life. I go, what do you mean? She goes, every 30 minutes, it's a new preacher preaching grace. Grace, 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 grace. And she just went, she went into this whole, I'd never heard her say anything like that before. Just went off. I go, Mom, what are you so upset about? She goes, Moses came with the law, but Jesus came with grace and truth. So he had grace mixed with truth or the law. There's got to be a balance, son. I'm not sure if all our grandkids have ever had to be through the tough parts of anything.
Wow.
And she said, maybe this is going to round out everybody's theology.
Man.
And maybe that's the way I've been thinking. I've been thinking that, and Pastor Bill and I were on a Zoom call this past Friday where the man from Brussels, Belgium, who was raised in the communist regime in Bulgaria, right next to Russia. And his father was the head of the Pentecostal movement for all of Bulgaria. And his dad was in and out of prison for years. That's the way he and his brothers were raised with mom. They didn't know if dad would ever come back when he would leave. So he has that whole part of his life. And now, of course, he's in Brussels, Belgium. He's the president of this great college, seminary. And he talked about continuous change versus discontinuous change. And continuous change is where you're always on the up and up. It's changing, you know, from glory to glory, changes, and you're changing, but it's kind of this upward trend. You know, victory, 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 victory. But then he talked about the New Testament discontinuous change, where in the life of Jesus, the life of Paul, these sudden setbacks, these sudden hammers, these hard times and like bad times, they were beat, they were thrown in prison, and then they miraculously got it. And he's talking about this, there's continuous change, but it's discontinuous. There's hard times, but yeah, there's a parallel track of victory along this hard time. And that's how the Christian church came into being. Well, certainly they were preaching grace through those times when their back had been opened, Paul and Silas, and they're in prison and they're singing in the midnight hours. And I think what this is doing, this doesn't compare with the early church and their suffering, but it's gotten us off our continuous, victorious, upward trend. And we're like, oh God, oh God, oh, what else is in the Bible? Oh, yeah, let me widen my theology. Let me expand the, let me check the Old Testament too. Let me see the Revelation. In other words, they're starting to look at the entire Bible, and theology maybe during this season is beginning to round out for Brooklyn's team. That's what I, as a father, are praying for, that hard times don't kill you. They actually, if you're a man or woman of God, strengthen you. And I'm hoping that's what we're starting to come into right now.
Well, the few times in the Word where, and even Paul, he said, harden yourself to difficulties, meaning you can anticipate things are going to be difficult. What do you do when it's difficult? Man, I harden myself. I just, as an athlete, you know, you don't give somebody something soft to hit. You got to give them something hard to hit. And I mean, I completely agree. The softening of the church, I believe, has rerouted. And I believe we're coming into a new dispensation of the Spirit of God. Wow. And I believe it's going to be, the world's going to see the church navigating difficulty and hard times. And just like what Denny said, that guy popping a Budweiser at 10 o'clock in the morning and listening to a preacher on his computer, he's thinking, wait a second, I like what he's saying. Because it's real life.
Yeah. I love what Rich was saying. That Rich, that was really, really powerful. And I love the idea that we get hardened toward the challenges as well, Bill. That's powerful. I've been reading about these great healing evangelists and people that God anointed in the past. I've just kind of been doing that at night, and it's better than Netflix. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And so many things I didn't know. But there was a quote by a man by the name of John Alexander Dowie. He didn't end up well. And so, you know, I'm not asking everybody to run out and read everything that he said or about everything that he did. But in the early days, he was a man who God really anointed in healing. He probably was the father of the healing movement in America and many parts of the world. But there was a quote that just knocked my hat in the creek. And I want to read it because it goes along with what you said, Rich. It's just powerful. It says, we must never think we've made it and begin to dictate our personal power as a result of God-given success. Success brings a multitude of avenues and ventures. If we get caught up in the vast selections that come from success and fail to develop our spiritual tenacity, we can fall victim to the whirlwind. And, you know, that's kind of a transition between what you said and what Pastor Bill said, because there is another side to theology, and it is the fact that there is going to be this discontinued success and victory, that we come to these moments and we have to develop tenacity, and we don't develop it with a one-sided or one-leg kind of theology, do we?
This probably, the last 10 minutes has probably taken this where people are, and people can grab a hold of it. And I'm going to have my office get that quote from you, Pastor Denny, and I want to post that along with this.
I just want to thank y'all. Obviously, you guys are busy people. You're important people, and the fact that you guys took the time to do this for our church is huge. Pastor Rich, I don't know if you remember this, but when I was an intern at the church, we came to Miami and served along with your church.
Sure.
Meet your kids and be a part of your church. And still to this day, the class that we went with, like, people from that class will still say, like, it changed my life the way that he had us over at his house, because you invited all of us as interns to come. You served us dinner. Wow. You and your wife served the dinner to us. And I just remember people's impact then, but now I still have a friend that's like, that was a huge impact on me, that Pastor Rich Sr. like served us dinner, had us over at his house. Pastor Denny, just the all culture of your church, like you talking about how your church is reaching out to you saying, how can we help? That to me is because of the way that you've trained them to be. And it's like, Dad, you are whatever you need. The answer is yes. Like, all of y'all have just incredible fruit for your life. That's what's impressive about being on this call and getting to hear the things that you guys are talking about, because yeah, when you turn on the TV, it's negative. And to turn this on for people to get this kind of refreshing encouragement, I think is life-changing. But then also, like, they need to buy into the culture that you guys are setting, because as if like my family, I want to do whatever y'all are doing because it's working. Like, for your church, for your family, I mean, the legacy that you guys have, I feel like anyone that's listening, they're just going to want more. So we might be contacting you for a follow-up, but this has been huge. I just think, just even just like processing what you're saying, I'm going to go back and listen to this and take notes and think, like, it's just incredible to see that God's united y'all. And just how this conversation, we literally did not prepare for it. And all three of you had things that like flowed together. It's just the Holy Spirit. It's really cool.
Man, I love you guys. You guys are amazing.
Really, though.
You really are. I'm so blessed to have you guys in my life. And I'm sitting here listening, thinking about both you guys, that God's gonna turn up the volume and the magnitude on your voices. I mean, he really is. I believe your latter days will be greater than your former, and your best days are in front of you. And, you know, God didn't put all this, everybody's got knowledge, but let me tell you, the wisdom you guys operate in, the world needs to hear it. America needs to hear it right now. And, you know, whatever you have to do, just make sure that you're that conduit of wisdom from heaven. Brooklyn, you want to pray and close us?
Amen.
Oh, God. Father God, thank you for this time.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for these people that they lay down their life to serve you and honor you and just exemplify the fruit that comes from heaven. God, that you rain down on our lives. I thank you that your word says that the windows of heaven will open up. And I thank you that that happens in all of our lives, the people listening, that they're blessed immediately from this call. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will remind us of these points coming from this, God. I thank you that we're blessed and highly favored. We're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but everything we put our hand to will. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That we have a purpose and a plan on our life, and we're confident in it. I thank you that this pandemic only enlarges the territory of our church.
Amen.
God, I thank you that we step up our game like never before, that we're courageous and bold. And I thank you that we seize the day, that you open doors that no man can close, that the world has never seen. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has entered in the heart of man what great things you have in store for us and for our lives and for our family and our church. God, I thank you that businesses grow like never before. Finances,
yes, God. Yes,
money
God.
That comes in, and we're reaping in fields that we didn't even sow in.
Yes, Lord.
Your blessing in our lives, God. That we sense your presence in our homes. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. That we bring and magnify your name into our house. That we don't have to be anywhere but right here with you. That we take hold of this timing, that we refresh ourselves, that this is a time that we're not sitting back, but we're on the offensive side.
Jesus.
That we have control, we have authority, and we have already won because of the overcoming spirit that's inside of us. I thank you, God, that anyone listening here that doesn't know you, that right now they make you Lord of their lives. I thank you, Lord. They believe in their heart and they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord of their lives.
Yes.
I thank you that today marks a day that anyone listening to this, whether it's archived or live, no matter what, that it just, they don't leave the same. And I thank you, God, that Pastor Danny and Pastor Rich, that everything they touch is blessed,
yes.
That they're prosperous. And I thank you, God, that they're just blessed for this time that they've given to us. Thank you for Pastor Bill, Pastor Sandy, that they're healthy, whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. Their marriage is strong, and that they come back with momentum and insight and wisdom that we've never even seen before. That the momentum that comes from these three after this quarantine time, it's explosive, and it just blesses everyone that's involved. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Love y'all.
Thank you so much.
So wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Looking forward to when we could be together again.
Yes. Us too.
Gonna happen.
Us too.
Yes,
it is.
As you go, preach.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.